There are many issues that plague youth. The church acts as a safe haven. It provides a place where youth can come together to hear the word of God. Upper Room Media presents to you this Youth Talk, delivered from Sydney, Australia.
Into Christ in July 2004, 2021, after a very tumultuous life and deep in sin. So, that's people not locked up, a lot of drug use, a lot of violence. Used to be a dancer on Oxford Street. Once they were always a big boy, tattered up, hungry, hearings, had laser surgery, got them removed. Came to Christ, and that all changed very, very quickly. While I didn't see any bright lights, it was like a St. Paul experience where overnight, literally, in 24 hours, my life changed. That lifestyle, the desires, everything went away, and I had a burning desire for Christ in my heart. And then started a long journey of trying to give that out and grow into the person who's called me and called us all to be. My first Coptic church that I ever visited was here, St. Mark's, in 2004. Back then, my cousin Peter used to be really involved here at St. Mark's and give a lot of talks and really involved with the youth. And because the Greek church had no youth, I'm from a Greek background, he brought me here and I got to know Sam, Dan, Albert, Father Sam, Father Dan, Father Mark, Father Paul, all these guys prior to them being priests. And just enjoyed the beauty of a community. Around 2005, I received my room from the Wani Awood. And then from 2004 to 2010, I was back and forth in between the Greek church. So I'd come here, but because I was Greek and the cultural element was still very strong in St. Mark's back then, I felt a little bit more at home with my Greek people, but also the other fellowship here. March 2010, I went to Mount Athos with the desire and intention to never come back. I left my job, I left my family, they were all crying, they were in tears, I was cheering. And I stayed there till November 2011, so about a year and a half. Again, a cracker in the shop, really tried my best, but it wasn't God's will. I wasn't strong enough for that life, and I wasn't called to that life, and I think that's the most important thing. A few people along the way, even prior to me going, were sort of trying to indicate this may not be the will of God. Even thought he knew the will of God as a young Christian. But it wasn't his will. And very quickly, the only way that you can live your life in a monastery is if you're called to that, if your heart is aflame with the love of God, and you're going there because you love him so much and you want more of him, you will last. If you're going there because you want to escape from the world, you want to escape from the struggles, you love orthodoxy, you love spirituality, you're not going to last. You need to love Christ. And it wasn't his will, and so I came back. I worked for a year because I was confused and I don't know what to do now. And my spiritual father said, look, you don't know what to do. I worked for a year and then I could see him. After a year, I promised I'd be back there, come back again for 40 days in 2013 for Lent. And then it was made really clear that it was not God's will. Came back. 2016, I got married here at St. Mark's to my beautiful wife Sarah. The same year, they started a multicultural ministry at St. Mary's Church, which is a ministry that was 100% English. I was very passionate about mission, so I started serving there in 2018, my son Leon was born. Mid-2019, I started serving at St. Luke's Church. So St. Luke's, St. Luke's Mission Parish, 100% English. But its own church. It wasn't inside a very strong Coptic culture church like St. Mary's, which is still lovely. I started serving in St. Luke's. 2020, my daughter Acacia was born in March 2023. So 4 years after going to St. Luke's, St. John's opened up. And it was an awesome opportunity to just get really involved and start serving there. So that's a very quick snapshot because I don't really see people talking about the details of my own life. But what I'd like to talk to you guys about is stuff that I've learned, I guess, on the journey of seeking to know and to love God and seeking to have a relationship with Him. When I first came to Christ, as I said, I came from a very, very dark life without God, very, very deep in sin, and that life led me to emptiness. There was no satisfaction, there was no joy. I thought I had everything I wanted from a worldly perspective. I did. Power, the money, the women, forgive me, but it's the truth. But I was empty inside, even though I thought, wow, I've got everything now, being empty, the boys, whatever. Inside, I was dead. And I couldn't figure it out, because I'm like, this is what I wanted, now I have it, now what? So when I came to Christ when I was 21 years old, I think July 2004, it was a very profound experience of his love, because I had hit rock bottom and there was nothing left to give. And I was empty, and I cried out to him, and he came very powerfully. And I had a very tangible experience of God, where I felt a burning love in my heart for him. It was not in this world. And a burning love for others in his creation. Now that didn't last, of course, forever. It was just a honeymoon period. It lasted for maybe 6 months, which is a long time. And because of that experience, I couldn't get enough of God during that period. It was an outpouring of grace, and if you each experience grace, when grace is active, you want to pray as much as you can, you want to fast as much as you can, you want to serve as much as you can, you want to read as much as you can. Your heart desires nothing else but God. And during that honeymoon period, that's what my heart was like. And what that meant was that I spent a lot of time in prayer, and a lot of time reading, and a lot of time almost living a semi-monastic life. I go to work in construction at that time, and then I'd get back home and pray and read until I go to work the next day. The honeymoon period ended, of course. That lovely grace went away, and all the passions came back, not like they were before I came to Christ, but the struggle with overeating, the struggle with pride, the struggle with anger, all the basic things that I guess young people and Christians generally struggle with, they had gone away for 6 months. I thought Christianity is mad. It was so easy for those 6 months. Because God gave me that honeymoon period for what was to come. And then all those passions came back. But because God gave that period and I tasted the fruit of prayer, tasted the fruit of spirituality, and also went into some very deep spiritual literature on the spiritual life by the greatest of fathers and great writers of not only the modern era but in the past as well. It meant that when this period ended, I had a bit of a foundation of a canon that I would pray every day. And the mistake that I made right at the beginning was that I thought that, okay, if I pray more, if I fast more, if I struggle more, the grace is going to come back. Because that's not how grace works. And I had to learn the hard way through a lot of suffering that grace would not come back unless God wanted it to, and he wanted it to, not when Evan wanted it to. But fast forwarding throughout the years now, that's July this year, 20 years since that change coming to Christ. One thing that's become abundantly clear is that Christianity is not something you can do quickly. Christianity is a lifelong journey. Your spiritual life is a lifelong journey. It's not something where you can say, you know what, I'm going to go here for the next month or two, I'm going to fast, I'm going to pray, I'm going to do matanyas, I'm going to do liturgy every day, and somehow in 2 months I'm going to be holy. I'm going to be pure. It doesn't work like that. Of course, you're going to experience a change when you pray more and you fast more and you get more liturgy and stuff. But the long-lasting change, where you see a transformation in your character, where anger diminishes, pride diminishes, love increases, humility increases, takes a very long time. Very, very long time. It takes years. And what that means then is that for you to be able to experience that growth, to experience the diminishing of those passions, of your anger, of your pride, of your ego, of your jealousy, of your selfishness, of your gluttony, of your lust, and all the lovely passions, horrible passions that we all have, it requires a sustained effort over a long period of time. And the things then that I've come to realize that are necessary in that journey are a few things. Number one, the absolute basics. We need to confess regularly. I presume you all do that. Minimum once a month, Don't just go in there and not have anything written down, but write down, you know, the week before, sit down and ask the Lord, Lord, what have I done? What do you want me to confess? And spend 5, 10, 15 minutes in silence, and whatever comes to your heart, write it down in your notes, in your phone, whatever works for you. What that means is that when you actually go to, and do that over a couple of nights, when you go to confession, you're not going to forget anything. How bad is it when you go to confession and you walk out? Forgot that. We've done a million times. That won't happen if you're prepared for confession. So prepare for it and do that monthly. And what, again, just keep in mind one thing. The reason I'm telling you all these basic steps is because if you do this, what I'm talking about tonight, and you make it a rule for your life, I assure you, I promise you, that as the years pass, you will enter into profound experiences of God. You will enter into the mystery of His love. You will taste His love in ways you couldn't begin to imagine. But that's something that doesn't come straight away. It comes with time, a lot of time. When you look at the fathers of this church, you look at someone like a woman who was always smiling. Okay? Regardless of what's going on. He wasn't born like that. But he had a particular rule that he applied to his life, and over many, many years, the grace of God transformed him to be a vessel full of the Holy Spirit, full of joy. And the same with any spiritual person that you know. So, confess at least once a month. Prepare for your confession. The other thing that I came to realize is that the more time that we can spend with God, whether we feel His presence during that time or not, is going to bear a lot of fruit in the long run. Now, your youth, I'm presuming you're going to uni, you're studying, you're going to have to work, you're going to have families. So, you're not going to be able to give every second to God like a month does, for example. What you can do, though, is have a certain amount of prayer with the blessing of your spiritual father that you do every day, a spiritual family. And that could be, for example, that you do 15 minutes every night, half an hour every night, whatever it might be. And you sit down with your spiritual father and say, what should I be doing daily as part of my canon? And each person will have something given to them according to their strength. And it doesn't stay the same. As you grow deeper in the love of God, as you want more of God, you want to read more, you want to pray more, you want to give more of your time to God. If you haven't yet experienced the love of God, you haven't yet experienced the grace of God, sometimes it might be that 15 minutes a day and it's hard and you don't feel anything and you're standing there and it's dry. Don't worry if you feel it or not. It doesn't matter. The reason we don't feel God is because inside us we've got all these things that I said before, pride, anger, selfishness. All these things are an obstacle to experiencing God. But as I said, all these things don't go away like that. They take a long time. So if every day you do your best during your spiritual canon to stand before the Lord and have a spot in your house where you have your favorite icon of Christ, some candles in front of that icon, could be on a bookshelf or a shelf in the house, your favorite saint, light those candles, turn off the light, and create an atmosphere that will help you to pray easier. What did the church, what did our tradition give us? All this beautiful imagery and their incense and their hymns, because it helps us to get out of the worldly moment into a more spiritually conducive environment. Create that space at home. I've got a room like that at my house. It almost looks like a church. And when I go into that room, I feel like I'm in church. So I'm not telling you to have a whole room, but have a spot in your house where you go and you want to pray. It's conducive to prayer. And every day you stand there and you hear the prayers to the best of your ability, whether you feel it or not. So daily prayer, monthly confession, reading God's word. At our level, we don't hear the voice of God. But He communicates His voice to us through His word. So we sit there and we read the words of Christ, and we meditate on the words of Christ. And again, if you listen to your spiritual father, not be one chapter a day, not be two, not be three. Whatever you agree with your spiritual father, the idea with these wises is that if you persist daily, imagine what you'll be in a year compared to if you didn't do any of this stuff. Imagine for a year you pray every day, you do your spiritual canon faithfully for that 15 minutes a day. Faithfully trying to talk to God, whether you feel it or not. Faithfully reading His word every day, even if it's 5 minutes. I'm sure you'll all agree with me, in a year, the person who implemented this stuff is going to be very different from the person who did it. How about in 20 years? How about in 30 years? And remember, it's not going to stay 15 minutes, because as you can redeepen his love, a lot more. The 15 will become 20, the 20 will become 25, the next thing will be going to more meetings during the week, whatever it might be. All of these things do something that we cannot see, we cannot feel. But when I read the Word of God, when I spend time with God in prayer, when I fast properly, and I'll talk about what that means, all of these things bring us into the presence of God. You may not feel it, but if God is love, peace, joy, and the source of every good thing, the more time that you spend with God, the more time He communicates His attributes to you. The more time you spend with God, the more that you become like God with time. Again, the one thing I said right at the beginning, I learned very well, that it's taken a long time to learn, is that prosperity is a journey. It's not going to happen in a year. It's not going to happen in a year. But if you do the basics every day over time, you're going to really enter into the mystery of God's love in a very beautiful and profound way. Fasting. Fasting from food is the easy way. And you do that. But also fasting from the noise of the world. Fasting from scrolling on our phones. Fasting from TV. All of these things produce noise in the human heart. When the heart is full of noise, it is like a calm lake that you throw a pebble in. You throw the pebble in that lake, it creates ripples. You can't see the reflection. When there's no movement on that lake, and you look at that lake, you see your reflection very vividly, very clearly. God dwells in your hearts through the Holy Spirit you received at baptism. You partake of Him every liturgy. You have the body and blood of God in you, uniting you to Him and to each other. But there's so much noise in our hearts that we don't see Him. We don't experience Him, we don't feel Him. What is that noise? All the distractions the devil gives us. Many times it's not going to tempt you guys to do the big stuff, but it'll just fill your life with noise. You've got a spare moment, out comes the phone. You hop in the car, on goes the music. You hop on the train, in go the earphones. Where's God? How are you going to experience God? Maybe not. Because you're filling your life with noise. But let's say, for example, you say, no, I'm not going to take out the phone. Or if I do, let's read a chapter. I read a chapter from the scriptures. But if I'm going to pop in the earphones and listen to this very wholesome news, remember, anything that you do that is spending time with God bathes you in His presence. And His presence is what transforms us. We are weak human beings. We don't transform ourselves. He transforms us. So, with all these things, guys, the message is actually very simple. If we do it, we give every day to God, with time, what happens is that we start to be purified from our passions. We start to be purified from all these things that I spoke about. And if these things are the things that disable us from experiencing God, then as these things slowly diminish, because they don't go all the way at once, they slowly diminish over the years. As they start to diminish, a new world starts to open up to you. You start to taste God that little bit more, little bit more, little bit more. And the more that the passions subsist and decrease, the more that the heart is purified, the more that you see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is not theory. This is real. If you, each day, give everything you can to God, I assure you, you have my word. How old are you guys now? 8, 20? You know what I mean? To this average age? I assure you, by the time you're my age, 40, you're going to be bathing in the love of God, you know, you never thought possible. And what did you do? You gave the best that you could every day to God. And even five years in, of doing everything that we can, the pride's gone down, the ego, the impatience, all these different things. And that means that when you pray now, there's a feeling in prayer. I taste God when I pray. Not at the level that you'll taste Him in 30, 40 years, but much more than you did when you first started. And then what does that do? You want to pray more. So the 15 minutes that you start now with the listening scripture, Father, will go to you in the year, say, 1920, the year after 1925. You want God so much that if this desire starts burning in you and you haven't got married yet, you'll become a monk or a nun. I'm telling you. If you haven't yet, you haven't got in there yet, and that's fine. That's all in God's will and providence. You'll get married, and you'll just be an incredible husband, an incredible wife. You'll just grow deep up in the love of God as the years pass, and just be an incredible servant, an incredible father, whatever it might be. And if we continue this, guys, throughout our entire life, we will tell you that when we taste God in ways we cannot even begin to comprehend. Because He's already in you. He can't give more of Himself to you. He's in you already. But we don't feel Him because of our sins. And again, the biggest mistake we make is we go away from a talk or a camp, a service camp, whatever it might be. We get pumped. And for a week or two, we pray more, we fast more, we read more. But it's not sustainable. So we think after the fire dies down, outcomes and instar. We go back to our old way, we lose the spiritual canon, and then it goes away. But if every day I say, what's my minimum? My minimum is this. So I know with my spiritual father, my minimum each day is my canon that I've got. He said to me, Evan, if you want to do more, do more. If you don't have strength to do more, don't do more. But the idea is that the minimum is always done. With time, you will enter into a mystery and experience of God you couldn't even begin to comprehend. And this is what the saints are. Baba Gurus never got to the point of being Baba Gurus in his young years. What did Baba Gurus do that allowed him in the last 10 years of his life to be an incredible giant of history? Every day, from when he was your age, he did his best for God. Every day. And that meant that 10 years in, the guy had grown incredibly. 20 years in, you get the idea. So you get the idea out of your heads that this is something you can do quickly. It's a lifelong journey. Do not worry if you don't feel God when you read the Bible. Do not worry if you don't feel God when you're in liturgy. Do not worry if you don't feel God when you pray. We're not doing it for feelings. We're not. If anything, I'll tell you something, God will reward you more when you don't feel it. It's so easy to pray when it feels mad. It's so easy to pray. But when you pray and you can't be bothered and you can't be stuffed and your body's sore and you're tired and it's hard, but you stand there and you give that 15 minutes to God, crowns are being laid off for you. Because that's love. You're loving God. What are you getting in return? Nothing. You don't feel anything. But you persist. And that's where, with time, you will taste them. You will experience them. And on the journey, you don't have to wait 10, 20 years. You'll see yourselves. But there will be periods where the Lord, even in that first year, even in the second year, allows you to have the taste of grace. Allows you to be praying and to be filled with His love. Allows you to be praying and experience the tears of repentance in a way that just gives you fullness of life when you finish prayer. So even on the journey, the Lord sees your effort and communicates Himself to us, because He's so loving and so merciful. The only thing that I've learned along the way that is absolutely essential. This is so essential. Obedience. Obedience to a spiritual father is absolutely huge. It's absolutely huge. So you've got your spiritual father you've chosen. Don't do anything without His blessing. You want to do one extra at a time, don't do it. If He hasn't said, if He's told you 20, do 20. You feel like doing 21, you ask. said pray the 11th hour, don't do more unless you've got a blessing to do so. If everything we do is led by the Spirit of God, then you're not going to be led down dark paths by the enemy. Because sometimes the enemy loves it when you increase your prayer. Oh, he delights in it. He loves it when you do more time because, oh, he loves it when it's by your own will. Because he's got a long-term strategy. And he knows, you know, if I can psych this guy up, he's been told to do 20, if I can psych him up to do 50 or 9, in 1 week he won't be doing 20. He'll be burnt out and he'll drop to 20 and become too hard for him. So he's got a long-term strategy. So everything in obedience. And another mystery as well is that, guys, even when you give everything to God, even if you go to Eugene every week, daily, even if you fast to your skin and bones, even if you pray all day, it's only when God wants to and gives you the victory in yourself to overcome your sin. Even doing everything, you see the fall of Adam in you. You see it there. A little bit of anger, a little bit of pride. What we learn, what we all learn is that the more that you can espouse humility, the more that you can try in every situation to be last, to put your brother or sister before you. When you're at home, there's a job that needs to be done, and you don't want to do that job. That's the one you need to do. You know, you hate folding the clothes. Perfect, that's the job for you. You hate doing the dishes, mum does it all the time, or your sibling loves it and you hate it. That's the best job for you. So I want to do the dishes. Why? Humility is an absolute magnet for the grace of the Holy Spirit. It's the shortcut to the kingdom of heaven, the shortcut to purification of your pride, your anger, your lust. The shortcut to holiness is humility. It's the absolute foundation upon every virtue is built. You got pride, you can actually be going and serving and loving everyone because people look at you and think that's nice. Your pride gets filled and you keep serving. Or you pray heaps because people know pride, you lose all the reward. That's why obedience is massive, because obedience means I say no to myself. Even when my logic said this is the right way, I say yes to my spiritual father. So I laid everything down to him and say, what do you think I should do? That obedience will give you a special covering of grace, and you'll redeem it in the love of God with time. Putting yourself last and always seeking the Lord's place. You know, I was in that little liturgy this morning, and a Buddha blog said, right at the end, you know, please, beloved youth, the bins are full. If you can please, you know, empty the bins, that'd be great. How amazing if you guys rock up here early and no one's here, and you walk around and by your own desire, you empty the bins. You rock up during the day one day and no one's here, and you look for the tasks to do that no one wants to do. You get the vacuum and the vacuum in the church. Espouse humility, and I'm telling you, watch your spiritual life. Watch you grow in ways you never thought. If by nature you're a bit proud like me, and you're a bit of ego, then sometimes the Lord allows trials as well. He allows difficult struggles, temptations, warfare of emotions, whatever it might be. Let us not stress or get scared as well when we have trials, when we have temptations, when we go through pretty difficult periods in our lives. Even these periods where it's really hard and you're struggling are a gift from God. You might say to me, how in the world is it a gift from God? To humble the human heart, especially when we may not seek to humble it ourselves, through obedience to our spiritual father, through seeking the last spot, through seeking the wrong path that we don't like, so we humble ourselves. If that's too hard for us, God still needs us to be humble. So if I can't humble myself, God in His incredible love, His incredible mercy, will allow the necessary trials, difficulties, challenges, persecution, sickness, whatever it might be, to humble us. Because He loves us. And He doesn't want us to miss out on being filled with His love. And I can't be filled with His love if my heart's proud. I can't be filled with His love if I'm egotistical. So if there are difficulties and challenges, what do? They grind us down and make life hard. But in those dark times where things are going really hard, if I cling to Christ, if I don't turn to the comforts of the world, I don't think I'm going through a hard time, I'm just watching some movies and then I'm being something for better, or gaming, whatever it might be. No, I keep my spiritual faith. I remain faithful in my prayer. I remain faithful in my service, even when inside I'm really struggling. Every trial is a beginning, every trial has an end. If I cling to God in the midst of that trial, what has it done? Over the week that the trial might be going on the other side, it's humbled me, it's broken me, it's brought me to my knees, glory to God. It's done what I need to do. I've now entered into a more humble state, and now I've got God's grace. And now I'm not God. Until I become proud again, and the next waves come to bring me back down. Everything works for good. Everything works for good. So God loves us so much that even if we don't pray, even if we're lazy Christians, He'll allow the necessary medicine because He loves us. He wants to save us. And to avoid all that, obedience. Seek the Lord's place. Do the task you don't want to. Humble yourself. Speak to your spiritual father. Have a daily prayer. Whether you feel it or not, don't worry about it. That's not important. Read a little bit of the Bible every day. Whatever your spiritual father guides you to. Commune as often as you can. If you've got to listen to your spiritual father, attend the images as often as you can. Because when you eat Him, you're abiding in Him. And He who eats the flesh and drinks the blood of the Son of Man, His wife in Him, and abides in Him. Confess every month. Serve. Opportunities open in church. Serve. Give your time to God. If you do these basics, do the fast of the church. Why not fast on Wednesdays and Fridays? Why? What a blessing to pick up a little bit of a cross on Wednesday and Friday for Christ. To imitate that little bit during the week, Wednesdays and Fridays, not the 2 days in the evening. Come on. Do the fast of the church. All of these things, which if you think about it, they're basics, guys. This is what you're taught from Sunday school when you're a little kid. Spiritual canon, fasting. Go to church, humility. If you do this stuff every day, I guarantee you, as I said, with time, you will taste and see the Lord is good. With time, you will see a diminishing of your passions. With time, you will really enter into a beautiful experience of God. With time. There's no shortcuts in this service, so it takes time. Rather than see that, I'd love to hear if you guys have questions, if you guys have thoughts. One other thing actually, before I do that, for those who want to take it maybe a little bit to the next level as well, not only do we try and decrease the noise of Facebook, or LinkedIn, or LinkedIn, or something, Instagram, when you're driving, doing some Jesus prayer, spending time with a short prayer, narrow prayer that you repeat. And why do we do that? I'm sure you all agree with me. You go and say a prayer to God, you want to say as much as you can in 2 minutes, you're done. What are you going to say? How long are you going to pray for without having words? You say everything you need to say, it's a bit babbling on and on and on. You finish saying what you want, you stop. But we want to spend more time with God, don't we? We want to bathe in His presence, we want to spend time with Him because we know that. The more time I spend with Him, the more I'm in His light, in His grace, even though I can't see it, and it transforms me. So you may not know Psalms out by heart while you're driving to say the Psalms. You may not know them while you walk. But everyone can say a little prayer like, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And simply, not with stress, not with force, gently, with love, peace in your heart, repeat that prayer constantly, as much as you can. One habit that I've got, I carry it with me all the time in my pocket, the prayer rope. But I've also got one hanging on the link on the car. So when I get in the car, the radio is never on. Unless the kids want to listen to hymns or whatever, they say they listen to secular stuff, they can listen to that with my mum. is the rule of the month. For me, it's the Zbehar and Liturgy. But it balances out because I got the months as well. But if the radio's not on, I'll pull the off the blinker and I'll say to Jesus Christ. It's dry. It's become a habit now. Whenever I'm in the car, I say Jesus Christ. So instead of listening to the radio, listening to the music, driving times become prayer. Walking to and from my car to work. Walking up the driveway to get to my car to drive to work. Walking in the office or the bathroom. Jesus Christ. Your life can become prayer. Your life can become an uninterrupted union with God. Now, of course, that's a bit of a struggle and it's not easy to do. So, you might think it's a bit over the top to do all the time. But think, what's a time that I can introduce that into my day? And you might say, well, I don't want to actually use all my time driving during that. Like, I'm going to listen to some music and stuff. That's fine. But maybe when you get into the car, you do one circle. 2 minutes, 3 minutes. That's 3 minutes each time you hop into your car that you're connecting with God through Jesus, for example. The idea is the more that we introduce Christ into our day, remember, don't worry if you feel it or not. Please, don't stop because you don't feel it. Don't stop because you're distracted and you have to keep bringing your mind back. That's normal. The time will come where your heart will yearn for prayer. But the time will come when you can't wait to go home and spend time in prayer. At the beginning, it's not like that. But you only get to that if you persist each day doing what you can, whether you feel it or not. I'm going to stop there. Questions?
Yes. I might be wrong, but I think you mentioned earlier that you're going to get into the detail of how to fast properly.
Yeah, thank you. So, look, it's beautiful when you fast from food. That's great. That's awesome. That's what the church asks for us, you know? Obviously, you guys know the basics. Like, what's the point of selling meat, but then I get substitute chicken, or substitute sausages, or the there's meat patty, and I swear it looks like meat, it's veggie based. While I was at St. Luke's, they started serving it during the siam, and the priest stopped it. Because it looks and tastes like meat. What's the point? So what's the point of fasting, guys, if we're going to replace meat with meat substitutes? We're missing the mark of Luke. Not only that, but fasting, what's the point of fasting, and then I eat food till my stomach is stuffed? What's the point of this? That the fathers of the church teach us to always get up from the table just before you're content. If that's too hard to get up just before you're content, at least stop right on contentment, not till you're starved. Tell me, put your hand up if you can eat till you're bloated and you can pray after that. The bugs. No way. But how about when you fasted, and you haven't had dinner yet, and you've had a bit of time and you've been in the sunset pool, and you haven't had anything since lunch and you're really hungry. You feel good. There's a mystery when I'm hungry, but my desire can turn to God and I want Him. And I'm praying. So when you're fasting, try not to fill your stomach, even if it's with lentils or beans. Stop a little bit short. Feel a bit of hunger. I'm not telling you to starve. I'm not telling you to do that. Just before contentment. Not only that though, what's the point of fasting? Let's say you're doing that. You're already right. You're stopping to be sure. You've got no meat substitutes. You're smashing the food. You're still struggling. Fruits and veggies. Man. But then you hop on your phone for 2 hours every night scrolling. What's the point? You missed the mark. You filled your mind and your heart with the world. How are you going to taste God in prayer? You filled yourself with so much noise that you're going to go stand before God and you're just going to have all the stuff that you've seen going on in here like a tape. I wouldn't say like a DVD. You guys don't know what DVDs are. Like an MP3, MP4. You know? Your prayer each night will be the product of your day. Your prayer each night will be the product of your day. If that day has been spent, trying your best to not feed your mind with LinkedIn again, Instagram, Facebook. I'm happy to LinkedIn for my work, so I'll LinkedIn. You know, the more you can turn off the noise and not allow the world to enter in through your eyes, into your heart, the more that you'll stand before God. What's it going to put in your head if you haven't spent any time on TV, on Facebook, on Insta? There won't be much material for him to recycle in here. And if we can take it to the next level and put that stuff to the side completely, what's he going to bring to your mind to distract you and improve? Your assignment. The less material that you give the devil to give him during prayer, the less distraction you're going to have. So if during the fast at least, guys, when you guys are done, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm telling you to be monks and nuns, you know, but at least during the fast, have periods where you can give that little bit extra to God so you can taste that little bit more of God. Otherwise, if you don't give that little bit of extra to God to taste Him, and you don't taste Him, you're missing out. Like, you need to taste Him so you can want Him, but you're not going to taste Him if you don't try. So during the fast, try and turn off the noise. Use it because you have to use it, not because you want to use it. When you've got the desire to lift it up and to go through Insta, do a round on the Jesus prayer first. Say our Father first. Make a vow to God that if I spend half an hour on that, I'm going to spend 5 minutes saying the Jesus prayer. Balance it out at least. And you'll see a big difference if I, during the fast, I cut out a lot of socials. I try and be a little hungry and not fill my stomach. I don't enjoy the food. I cut out these little pleasures that I enjoy. And I suffer a little bit. That's suffering, right? It's not easy. That's struggle. But if he was willing to go through that for you and for me, and to have nails driven through his hands, and to leave his head in glory, then I can't give that little bit of extra in the fast. He's worth it, I'm telling you. And he'll reward you, and you'll taste him, and you'll enjoy him. If there's one prayer, honestly, and I say this from my heart, if there's one wish that I could have, it's for Christians to taste God. Christians hear about Him, read about Him, hear sermons about Him. Not all Christians taste Him. If there's one wish I have, is that each Christian tasted God. Tasted the love of God. Tasted the mercy of God. Stood for prayer and were on fire for God. I wish, just once, your life would change forever. Each and every one of us can have that. We want it. What are we willing to do for it? Because he wants to give it to us. We have to give it to us. Questions?
We have time for one question, guys. If someone has a question, we'll get one off the side. No questions. All right. There's one question, Evan, please. The question is, can you elaborate on how you can realize the will of God in your life? Is there a clash between with God anything is possible and it wasn't His will?
The easy way is, tell you what you can maybe not be
thinking one thing,
because sometimes that means that we want to get out there and think our love is God and we think that's what God can do. It's just a vision. Take it to the scripture file and see what he says. You know, there's a situation at the moment and the decision needs to be made. So I went to my scripture file and said, what do I do here? Well, what do I need to do? And I said, I'm going to spend a minute fasting, praying, and asking the Lord to make me His will. That's all. Done. At the end of the minute, it's not clear. I'll go back and say, what do I do now? It's not clear. Will you receive something? Will you receive something? The time will come though, the time will come where as we enter deeper into the love of God, things become a bit clearer. Things become a bit clearer. We can see this is easy for me, this is not. But even then, just for the sake of humility, just for the sake of not to be led by my own opinion, going to Scripture Father. Oh, I thank God, I thank Him for the Scripture Father, and I thank our sons, thank you so much, because He's like missing me with time. Just miss me with time. So I miss you with time. And I asked, I said, what should I do here? What do you think of this? Should I do this? Should I not? It's so easy. And it's beautiful because then you're in constant peace. You're in constant freedom. Because I don't have to sit here and worry and think, oh, I don't want to be so much, I'm doing that, and then complicate things and lose my peace. No, I'm just going to ask him whatever he says. And you're very blessed here at St. Mark's, because really, you've got beautiful priests. They're all amazing. There's not one being amazing. So whoever God's brought you to, use it. Tell me everything you want to do.
I'll ask one more question here, because there's about six of the same question. How were you able to discern between marriage or monasticism, and what made you get married and not go back to the monastery?
I did get that number. So, sometimes things aren't clear, but this is where again, if before I went to the monastery, I remember I went in 2010 and I got to Christ in 2004. 6 years after living 21 years deep in sin, I'm not talking about someone who grew up in the church, went through the Sunday school curriculum, and then was sort of like, you know, just coming to church and probably into it, then 21 and experienced the kingdom of Christ. Because what about someone who got forgiven, smoked every day, drugs on the weekend, hard drugs on the weekend, clubbing, girls, violence, our families were not well, you know, just going out, once in the moment now again. So when I came to Christ, there was that baggage. In 6 years, to say that I knew that I'm going to be a monk and I can make that choice by myself is absolutely ludicrous. Nuts. And there were people, including a spiritual father, of course at that time I was hopping around because I wanted to hear what I'm hearing. I wasn't sure, I didn't understand what I understood. If I listened, some very holy man, a very beautiful priest said, I don't think he's God's will for me. But I wanted it so much. So I'm like, oh, no. Thank you. Appreciate your advice. We're going to have us. So that's a very easy way. That's a very easy way. It really saves you the heartache and the pain of wanting something, investing your energy into it, doing it, and then all of a sudden it's not what you want. If you take a thing like a Christian spiritual father and say, I feel like I might be called to be a nun, to be a monk. And then your spiritual father will take you on a journey to see whether you're right for a monk. We'll give you a hand to do in the world, serving out a prayer to you while you're studying, while you're working. And see, if you enjoy it, can you do it? But if you can, it might add more. And then you might go to the monastery every period of time. And then you'll see, you'll become clearer whether it's the will of God, because number one, you humbled yourself in obedience. And humility does what? It brings the grace of God. What does the grace of God do? It brings truth. What is truth? Discernment to know, right or wrong. To know what's His will or not. So if you do that, you save yourself a lot of heartache. For those who are like me and want to do stuff your own way, God will guide you too, so you don't have to learn the hard way. It's a bit more painful. But he'll get you where he needs to get you.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.